At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm Gaius. Germanicus is here with Germanicus's list of what not to do. Well, of course, the United States is following exactly this as if it's a program. Let's do what we're not supposed to do. Number five, never think it will never happen to us. Oh, my goodness. All right, Germanicus, please explain.
In Afghanistan, we scoffed at the idea that it was, quote unquote, you know, in lore, the graveyard of empires. And the British had fought three wars there, none of them satisfying. The first Afghan war in the early 1840s, they lost their entire army and all of the camp followers, all of the diplomats, everyone. Boom. And we said, well, we're not Britain, you know. We're above all of that. And as a result of our American exceptionalism, that we do things differently because we're superior, because democracy makes us smarter, better.
Oh, and the coalition dodged, Germanicus. I rushed to mention how we assembled a coalition and everybody would show up and give money.
Yeah. Well, the thing about the key here, of course, is that we were beaten as badly as any British army in Afghanistan. We ran out of the place in a shameful cavalcade of retreat. And whereas we made fun of the Russians, the Soviets, when they left Afghanistan because they had to cross a bridge. And, oh, look, they were defeated by our little Stinger missiles. The truth of the matter is, they walked out with dignity, and the regime they left behind lasted for another 3 years. So it ours was a shameful withdrawal.
I mentioned a detail, Germanicus, and one of the men we empowered to defeat the Soviets was a guy named Bin Laden.
Yes.
We created our own nemesis.
And it'll never happen to me is something that an effective, victorious enterprise is hugely susceptible to, not just the United States. And this was a tremendous problem for the United States after World War II, which it did not realize. And that was that we thought of ourselves as the gods of war, and then we could not imagine with the technology superiority we had, not so much in Korea yet, but certainly in Vietnam, we had this magical air cavalry and thousands, tens of thousands of.
Oh, and remember the electronic fence that was going to stop the Ho Chi Minh Trail?
We had everything. We had, supersonic jets coming out the kazoo. Everything we had was beautiful and futuristic. The M16 rifle, for God's sake. I mean, it was like a space weapon. But the truth of the matter is, you would think that after a defeat like Vietnam, we'd get it through our heads. But part of the problem was that we live according, our vision of how the war will proceed flows from the myths of the last war. And the myths of the last war, when it came to 2001, were the myths that we created as a giant active theater in Desert Storm. And Desert Storm was the announcement that America would always be triumphant, would never be defeated, because look, we had smart bombs. We have all of these things that just go out and kill, and we dominate everything. And I would listen to Air Force presentations about how we can win war on our own. You know, this is the mentality we went into that with, and we preserved it in when it came to the proxy war called Ukraine. we felt that there was no possible way this something bad could happen to us, because NATO had 30 times the GDP of Russia. Russia was an economy no bigger than Italy, maybe just Spain and Portugal. I mean, it was unbelievable that we had reached a point where there was no possibility that we could lose, because we had the superior technology, the superior doctrine, air, land, battle, and all of the rest, you know, maneuver warfare, et cetera, et cetera. And the idea that anything bad could happen was unthinkable. And we kept denying that it could happen for 3 years while it was happening. And that is a judgment, I think, on us.
Do not oversell yourself to yourself. My statement: do not undersell the enemy. One way we think of it is the North Koreans. When they attacked, they were brutal, but ultimately the Marines held them in the retreat from Chosun. However, then the Chinese, and the Chinese were different. They went into battle with one man with a weapon and two behind him without, because they were going to pick it up when the man in front was murdered by American fire. We'd never seen such a thing. Didn't know what to make of it. The Marines thought the Chinese were insane. The Chinese were conducting a war that no one had ever imagined. And they kept thinking the Chinese were going to break. They came in waves. They turned on those Quad 50s on them, and they didn't stop.
Right.
And I believe that is the illustration that you're aiming at. We thought our weapons were superior and the Marines would never break.
Well, what's shocking is NATO forces lost, I don't know what the exact total is for the U.S. contingents, the vast balance of forces there were American, was 37,000. So I guess all of NATO would be maybe 50,000 dead out of Korea. Well, the Chinese lost 500,000 dead, but they still kept defeated us for the first time since the battle, the campaign that led up to the Battle of Fredericksburg in 1862. The U.S. had been defeated in a strategic campaign and defeated by a power that we had despised. And it's amazing, because this is essentially what we were doing in Ukraine. And the problem gets down to something more than just admonishing ourselves not to believe our own hype. What's more worrisome is what believing your own hype actually does to you, and what it does for the enemy, because it creates a process of thinking that severely weakens your capacity to respond to things that the enemy might do that you aren't prepared for, or things the enemy might do that you've already disallowed, because clearly the enemy is a lesser force than you and will never be able to do those things, a la the Chinese, you know, overwhelming our lines in the middle of winter with guys who wore nothing more than cheap sneakers. I mean, this is a difficulty that I think goes to the same problem of American exceptionalism when it comes to battle. But imagine what this kind of mindset does for the enemy, because the enemy now can rely on you're not being ready. You're not fully understanding what he is capable of, and therefore it's a gift. We give a gift to the enemy, and we did this in Ukraine big time. We let the Russians build this huge fortified festung, this thicket of anti-tank obstacles and bunkers, and thought that somehow, because our weapons were so superior to theirs, they just break through. And yet that wasn't our own experience. the United States fought incredibly bitter battles trying to get through the German fortifications, Siegfried Line and others, battles like the Hurtigen Forest, which we did not win. Right. It was a total stalemate. I mean, this is something that is in our own experience, and yet we have discarded it.
And finally, there's so many examples of this. I wonder which one is your favorite. Never follow a strategic course of action that makes your enemy stronger. That's how we fight war, dramatic. That's how Churchill said it. The Americans eventually do the right thing after trying everything else. That's us.
Right. The key here is never follow a strategic course of action that makes your enemy stronger. Well, in order for us not to do that, we have to understand the sources of the enemy's strength. And of course, by undervaluing the enemy and what the enemy can do, we essentially do not attack the thing that makes them strong. So clearly the thing that made the Chinese strong when they launched their great offensive across the Yalu was that they had morale, they had spirit, and they would do almost anything physically that they could to carry the battle to NATO and the, well, it was called the UN, actually, to the Allied forces. And we never understood that we could kill 10 times, 20, 30 times more Taliban than we lost as casualties, and they would still win. We couldn't get our arms around that. And because we couldn't do that, we weren't able to attack it. We never found a way to attack it. And so they ended up becoming stronger. And because we could not figure out a way to deal with how they fought war, we were more and more demoralized and weaker and beginning to look for the exit. And this is just unbelievable. I mean, this came really to the fore with Napoleon's invasion of Russia. And much of that has been replayed in Ukraine. And we haven't been able to get our mind around the idea that they have adapted and learned from the experience of the fighting so far in ways that have made them stronger and better. And we haven't figured out how to do that for ourselves. And so this is
just a moment to take before the seven rules. We're about to interject ourselves into Venezuela. I don't know about Nigeria. It might be true that we're going to do that. Don't know. Too early. But in Venezuela, yes. We have the blessing and the encouragement of the opposition, Machado and Gonzalez, which is one mistake you identified. We're letting them define our goals. We're going in with insufficient ground forces and overwhelming air power. In other words, the strategy is going to be to bomb them into submission. That never has worked. I doubt if it ever will work. All you do is make the enemy stronger when you bomb them and don't wipe them out.
I think there is an unfortunate line that we can trace back to the Israeli, what's it, the not beepers, the little Motorolas that Hezbollah was using to communicate, and the way they were able to launch a kind of mass decapitation has, I think, inspired the U.S. to think that decapitation is an option. So it wouldn't just be bombing, it would be hitting all the leadership. And in a way, perversely, Israel's legitimated that as a tactic of war, even though this isn't a war. We would go and just wipe out all of the leadership in some, you know, charmingly clever way, and then there naturally things would fall apart. Whereas the reality is we can't overthrow Venezuela as long as their army desires to resist us. And it's very unclear to me that we have the kind of leverage, the kind of inside influence that would allow us to be confident that were we to knock out the top network of their leadership, that they're, that the army would essentially go along with a regime change. People say that that was much more the case in the first Trump administration. And so I don't know where we would hope to discover, you know, the secret to success here.
Don't you know that the Gerald Ford and battle group shows up and they're just going to fall on their knees and say yes? Don't you know that, Germanicus?
Yeah, we are overawed by our own weapons. And unfortunately,
that's one of the self-harms. We also think that they're not going to resist us because they're just a bunch of narco-terrorists or gangsters.
Well, I mean, I would look at the comparison to Panama. When we went into Panama, we went in with a lot more force. And Panama was a supportive semi-colony of the U.S. And we still had the canal zone and we still had all of the levers that we could pull for it, what was and is a tiny country. So Venezuela is an enormous country by comparison, and its favelas and its jungles make it very unappealing place to fight.
The seven lessons that the U.S. has managed to ignore for at least the 20th century. We're into the 21st, and we're waiting for another example from Germanicus. This is Londinium, 91 AD. It's all ahead of us, but we can see it. Now, Rome made these same mistakes often. As we changed emperors after Marcus Aurelius and Varus, we changed emperors every 30 minutes for about a century. We made all these mistakes, so we recognize them. The one consistent mistake that the Romans avoided was forgiving the enemy. They never forgive the enemy, never. The U.S. has a tendency to let bygones be bygones. We'll see when it comes to Venezuela. We'll see. We're going to turn to one more detail, which is Germanicus and I have opinions of Hollywood and Rome. And when we come back, Gladiator 2. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm Gaius. He's Germanicus. The centurions are all nodding. They enjoy us talking about Hollywood. It's 20 centuries away from them, but they enjoy it. And this is the Friends of History Debating Society.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy, thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.